Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Have you heard it said that the Bible is out of date? I imagine you have. The assertion continues, it's not in touch with our current culture. Merely a collection of old writings that no longer really portray the world in which we live, no longer really apply to situations in modern times. Well, those who assert that Scripture is not relevant seem to me to have never read St. Paul. His 2,000-year-old writings, inspired by the Holy Spirit himself, are incredibly relevant. He is calling his hearers in Ephesus away from a life lived as those who have no relationship with God, and thus he declares, "You must no longer walk as they do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from life, from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, to indulge in every kind of impurity." Now, doesn't that description give the impression that those words could have been written yesterday about 21st century North America? Are we not living in a culture increasingly hardened against God? One that seems truly fixated on sensuality and the pursuit of all manner of impurity. Surely it is everywhere. And into that familiar and very current description of our cultural context, Paul issues a word of command. And not just Paul, for this is Holy Scripture. And as such, these words of command are for us from God himself. You must no longer walk as those alienated from God do. It's that simple and that complicated. Paul is calling us to an altogether different life, transformed by your identity in Christ. "Put off your old self," he writes, "which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." There is his call. Now, if all of that seems too broad, too theological or philosophical, Paul offers very concrete, specific examples of this life. He says, "Speak the truth with your neighbor." And a little further on, he adds, "Speak only what is good for building one another up." Imagine a community in which all of our speech was only that which would build one another up. He goes on, "Do not allow the sun to go down on your anger." In other words, do not let anger fester between you and another. "Do honest labor, that you may have something to contribute to the needs of others, and do not give the devil even a foothold, an opportunity in your life." These characteristics culminate in Paul's plea that we be imitators of God, that we forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us, and that we walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself as a sacrifice. Now, taken all together, That's a tall order. And it's far more than just a suggestion, the kind you might find in a self-help book with a title like Guide to Happier Living. No, this is a command of God. Recall again Paul's charge at the beginning of this section. In the NIV translation, it reads, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. And so we must each ask of ourselves, how is my life conforming to the Lord instead of just being a mirror to the culture that surrounds me? And that's not just an idle, nice to think about, Sunday morning kind of question. It is vitally important in our walk with our Lord. Far more significant than other questions we ask about our life, like how's my diet? How am I doing on that exercise program? Am I putting enough money away in my retirement account? Well, those are all important questions. But they pale in comparison to that which is truly needful, recognizing honestly our walk with the Lord, whether we are conforming to His word or to a hardened world. Now, your being here this morning conveys that you take this command of our Lord seriously. You convey a desire not to be alienated from the life of God, but rather a desire to be connected to the life of God. Otherwise, there'd really be no particular reason to have gotten up this morning and joined us for worship. And I'm certainly glad you're here. And here, the very first thing we do whenever we gather together is confess who we really are before our Lord and wait for His word of forgiveness and absolution. Wait for Him to lift us up again. We desire to walk with Him instead of simply following the world. And so Paul's question is the question for us today. Have you become imitators of God? And in various ways, in spite of all of the conflict and the temptation and the backsliding that happens in all of our own hearts, the answer is yes. We have become imitators of God. Now, that work is only begun. But we desire to be imitators of Him and not the world in which we live. And let's face it, outside of these walls, that is not an easy task. You will very often find a culture that is increasingly quite disinterested to being an imitator of God and rather downright hostile to the notion that we are called to conform not to the world, but to the Word. Paul writes in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Perhaps you have faced, or are facing now, the real challenge of that call to righteousness. And maybe in the face of this hardened, hostile world, that effort has grown difficult and wearisome. And some days, maybe you're just tired out by all the opposition. And if so, you are in good company. Elijah was called to stand against the tide of the world and be an imitator of and a spokesman for God. He carried a heavy burden. It was through Elijah that the people heard of a drought that was ordained by God and would last for years. It was from Elijah that the order came that the false prophets of Baal that were in the land leading the people away from the true God were to be killed, all 400 of them. That is a heavy burden to bear. Now, through it all, God surely provided for this great prophet But the time came when he was tired, discouraged, fearful, and felt extraordinarily alone. It's what we read this morning. The great Elijah went off into the wilderness alone and said to God, "I have had enough." And more than that, he even prayed, "Take my life." Now that is tired, discouraged, fearful, lonely talk. So if you too are feeling weary in your desire to walk with God in the face of a world of opposition, you are indeed in good company. Last week, I had an opportunity to reconnect with an old college friend. It was one of those wonderful, quite unexpected reunions that occurred after many years of very little contact. Back in the day, Mark and I lived in the same college dorm. That was back when dorms were these simple cinder block little square rooms, not the suites that they are today. Well, now, Mark has graduated on from our dormitory life, and he lives in Beverly Hills, and he sells pricey real estate to the rich and famous. He's telling me about some of the deals he's been a part of, some business competition that he had with the father of a woman named Paris Hilton, fairly known to many for no good reason. Nevertheless, that's the circle in which he has been traveling for a number of years. And I must confess, I expected to see a man, still my friend, but one who had fully embraced what I imagine of the Beverly Hills lifestyle. But instead, over the course of our lunch conversation, he quietly said, "I've had enough." He described a culture in which, by his experience and observation, the people live for two things: conspicuous consumption and the next new thing, whatever that is. Now, Mark is a man who always enjoyed a sense of style and good living, even back in our college days, and it's what drew him, I suspect, to Beverly Hills. But sitting in a Kenosha restaurant, he was tired and discouraged. "I've had enough." He too is in good company. And notice, if you will, how our Lord responded to Elijah's weary plea. The Lord did not say, "Get over it. You need to be stronger. Haven't you seen what I've done for you?" Neither did he say, "Okay, I'll take you away from all of this." Instead, God fed and strengthened Elijah for the work ahead. "Arise and eat," the prophet heard, "for the journey is too great for you." God would provide for his servant and continue to lead him on a path that God himself ordained. Elijah would continue to serve as an imitator and spokesman of God until God chose to carry him away into his eternal kingdom. And in your own weariness, God does not say, "Get over it. You need to be stronger." He knows that your journey of righteousness is too great for you alone. Neither does he say, "Okay, I'll take you away from all this." So here again, the beautiful words of our Lord as we look this week again at John chapter 6, when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." God's intention is to feed and strengthen us through the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. And this is not just some sort of theological or philosophical slogan. God's word and the gifts of his grace and sacraments, these are real nourishment that our souls need. They are God's provision. And so let God feed you every day on his word And then tell me if that nourishment doesn't increase your own sense of the peace that surpasses our human understanding. I am routinely inspired by our shut-ins who receive the sacrament of Holy Communion with such reverence and recognition that it is truly and profoundly feeding their souls, and it is the very same here. This is the nourishment we really need for the struggles of the day and the hope of tomorrow. Jesus went on to say, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." This is the very bread of life broken for us on the cross. Now, how God uses that provision in your everyday life, I cannot say. Only to know that he is faithful. For my friend Mark, God opened up a means for him to leave Beverly Hills and resettle in Phoenix and to keep his job. Now, Phoenix isn't the Garden of Eden either, but Mark is encouraged that he is moving to a place that he believes is more akin to the Christian values and lifestyle that he embraced growing up here in the Midwest. Now, Mark, like Elijah and the rest of us, is still called to be an imitator of God in his new neighborhood, just as he was in the one he is leaving. God's command through Paul's writing still applies. But thanks be to God that he feeds and nourishes us in ways that we need most for the continuation of our journey, which he has ordained for each one of us. Be fed by the bread of life, through his word, through his gifts, and be strengthened again for the journey, knowing that it is one you do not walk alone. Amen. May the peace of our Lord, which far surpasses our human understanding, strengthen you again in the assurance of Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen. We confess the faith that we share using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your whole creation and even more for the gift of salvation from sin and death and the promise of your new creation. Keep us from doubt, despair, or discouragement by the continual hearing of your life-giving word. Give us the spiritual awareness of your saving presence among us in your word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. Look with kindness on all your servants whom you have sent to preach and teach your word and administer your sacraments. Bless especially this day all who prepare again for another Christ-centered school year. Help us all to receive your word with joy and faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers also for all who are in any need, for those who doubt your word, those in trouble, all who are sick, injured, or in sorrow or mourning. Give them faith as you feed them with the very bread of life, who brings forgiveness and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the offering.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.